Amen. Well, it's good to be here with you tonight, and I'm humbled to be here and to be a part of this revival. As I said last night, you know, my desire is that Jesus would be exalted and lifted. You know, the Holy Spirit has come to make Jesus known. That's His job. It's His job to reveal Jesus. It's His job to exalt Jesus. And when He has full control of our lives, that's what's happening, and through you, through me. So I pray tonight, as God delivers His word, I pray that you'd see Jesus tonight. You'd be strengthened, encouraged. I want to read a passage of Scripture as I'm getting started here tonight. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1. If you want to turn there with me right quick. Ephesians 1, just as we're praying for this service, pray that we would pray this all the time. Ephesians chapter 1, if you would look at verse 15. Probably know this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church at Ephesus. And he goes on to say, he's talking to believers here. He says, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So he's praying for these believers. And I believe that if Paul was here today, he'd be praying that for us. And I believe that God is inspiring us and encouraging us to pray for one another and to pray for ourselves for this here. "I cease not to give thanks," verse 16, "making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Amen? These are born-again believers, but praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power, not yours, not mine, His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And He's put all things under His feet and gave Him, Jesus Christ, to be the head over all things, the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Amen? And I pray that tonight, and I pray always, that God would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes when you read the Word of God or you have the Word ministered into your life and you hear something over and over and over again, and all of a sudden you just get a revelation. Wow! I've read that so many times and now I get it. You with me? Isn't it exciting? I believe that is God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, giving us the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of Jesus Christ, that we may all know as His children what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of His grace and the inheritance that He has within us. Amen? There's a work that God is doing in our life. Last night, we talked about grace. I'm so thankful tonight that that's the way we're saved. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by duties. We're not saved by how many times we go to church. You could go to church your whole life. You could read your Bible your whole life. You could do all good things. Give your body to be burned. You could do mission work, good deeds for people. You know, the Bible says if you see someone hungry, feed them. If you see someone that's naked, clothe them. If you see someone that doesn't have a home, bring them in and give them a place to rest. You could do all of those things and never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because the Bible makes it very clear. Jesus said, "I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. No one will ever get to the Father except through me." He's never called a man to works. He's called him to have faith in what he did at the cross. Jesus did it. Jesus paid the penalty so that we could all be in right standing with God. None of us would ever know God. None of us would ever see God. And we would all be a wreck right now. Some of us in this room would probably be dead right now. I would be one of them. Had it not been for Jesus who came to you. People say, when did you come to Jesus? I promise you, he came to you. He came out of his great love for you, and he sought you out in the midst of your sin. Yes, you called on the name of the Lord for the salvation of your soul. Praise God. But the man Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he came and found you. Aren't you glad for that tonight? And when he came to, amen. He didn't come to you because you started cleaning your act up and doing good and changing ways of life and get you a Bible and start being good. That's not when he came. He came in the depth of your sin. He came in your worst moment. And I tell you what, he gave you the faith and the ability to cry out, what must I do to be saved? And grace has now come. We talked about it last night, a divine influence upon a man's heart. We talked about grace. Grace is sometimes described or defined as God's favor. And it is God's favor. But you read on in the depth of that definition, absolute divine influence upon a human heart. Man goes this way because he's lost. He's born of Adam. He's got no other route to go. And when God speaks, faith comes and man begins to turn his head. I hear what God is saying. That's God doing this work. He says, if you keep going that way, you're going to die. But if you come this way, you can live. And when we come by faith, that's the free will God gave every man. When we come by faith in this repented direction, God save me. Look, grace comes. And God makes you the new creature. God is the one that gives you a brand new heart and a brand new spirit to go in the way of righteousness. Because apart from him, we cannot do nothing. You will not bear the fruit of God apart from the Holy Ghost being in your life. So I'm very thankful tonight for the Holy Spirit in our life. I hope you're in this room tonight and you are born again, because the Bible says apart from Jesus, every human being on this planet will perish. We will be judged for our sin. Every human will be judged for his sin. But everyone that is in Christ Jesus, Jesus went to the cross so that I don't have to be judged anymore. So if you're born again here tonight, when you stand before God one day, he's going to look down at your life. He's no longer going to see Adam. He's going to see the blood of Jesus. He's going to see the authority and the power of his spirit in your life. Come in. Enter into the rest that I've prepared for you, you good and faithful servant. Be thankful tonight. Let's praise him for a moment. Father, we praise you tonight. We praise you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your spirit. Lord, give us this revelation, God. Give us the understanding and our eyes be enlightened, Lord, to know what your truth is telling us, God, that you would equip us in your word, Lord, to go out and to do the work in which you called us to do every day of this world that we live in, to bring this great good news to a dying world. We ask it in your precious name. Anoint your word, God. Give me the ability to speak it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, God has saved you. Amen. And since he saved you, he has put you in a wonderful fellowship. There's the church at Ephesus. There's the church at Thessalonica. The church at Corinth. This dear brother has a church up the road. What's it called again? St. Paul Church. And God gave the St. Paul Church. And God brought people together at the St. Paul Church. God brings members together here at this church in Wisconsin. And God has churches everywhere. There's a remnant of people in the last hour that we live. Real, true, born-again people that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're born again here tonight. You're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There may be timidity in your life. There may be fears that we struggle with. There be things that God comes in to deliver us from, because the enemy tries to keep us dumbed down. And sometimes we go through this world. We deal with all sorts of troubles and trials and tribulations. Didn't the Bible say that we were going to face that in this world? But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. Church, we win. We win in the end. We win. We win. We make it home. Jesus makes sure of that. And I'm thankful for that tonight. But God has saved you, not only that you can enjoy the pleasures of eternity with Jesus Christ, but God has a great work that he has chosen you for in the hour in which we live. And I believe that as we gather together all the time and the gifts of God's Spirit works in every person, pastors, prophets, apostles, teachers, and evangelists, and all the other wonderful gifts that God gives in this body, every gift is for the edifying and the building and the strengthening of your faith and my faith. So that we're built up strong. We know our place in Christ. I know what direction I'm running. I know what God is saying. I know his word. And I can go out into that world that I live in. I can stand strong, full assurance of faith, knowing that my God lives. I can tell you, every time you get a revelation of Jesus Christ, as you walk with him and study his word, I can tell you, you just get that more excited, amen? And in your troubled times, you're still excited because you know what? I know God's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. He's always going to be with me. And when people look at your life in that world out there, they're like, my goodness, how do you go through such things? You're not going to the daiquiri shop no more. You're not going to the pubs anymore. You're not smoking weed anymore. You're not taking Valiums anymore. Why not? Well, I can tell you what, I've found something greater than all of that. His name is Jesus. And I can tell you, I never made it with those things. I make it now. And people are going to be asking about this hope that's in you. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is always building your faith. Every time we come in here, building. Last night when we left here, our faith was built up. Amen? Why? Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. God distributed his word of life to us as he's doing again tonight. And we're filled up and we're excited and our faith is strong. Amen? And I pray that God would continue that in this church and, brother, in your church and all the churches that are around this world in the hour we live. We live in a great dispensation. You are called for this hour. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that you're not good enough or you're not strong enough or you're not this or you're not that. If you're born again here tonight, raise your hand. I can tell you what, you're a child of the living God. He owns you, and he has all power and all authority in your life and through your life. Don't forget that. And when the devil tries to come and lie to you and tell you that you're weak or you're this, you just remind him, yes, indeed, this guy is weak, but I'm going to tell you, when I'm weak, he's very strong. And I can tell you what, with God, I can do all things. With myself, it's absolutely impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You just remind that enemy when he comes into your mind about these things. So God has left you in this world for one reason, to bring the greatest glory that God can get out of that vessel. His work that he's left us is to go into this world and preach this gospel to every creature. All right? Sometimes we think, well, God has left me here so that I can enjoy this life with Jesus now. Amen. That's partially what God has saved you to enjoy. We're seated in heavenly places right now in Christ, and we have eternity to look for. Amen. And that's good because we get to make it now. But there's a work that God has left us to that I believe in the hour in which we live is a very critical thing. There are so many lost souls out in those streets in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, and all the other cities, and all over the United States of America. There are people that really want to hear the truth. I believe there's people sick and tired of Christianity in its picture of what it is today with its foolishness. And therefore, you and I are thrown into that bag, and we get the finger pointed at us, and I'm talking about the middle one. We get cursed and brutalized, not for the simple sake, maybe because you're preaching truth, but for the fact of the way some people that label themselves Christian are treating people and what they're preaching to people. Well, one's got this kind of doctrine. The other person's got this kind of doctrine. And some people are saying the gospel this way. And some people are saying the gospel that there's one gospel. One gospel. One Savior. One Christ. One king, and there's only one way to get there, and it's not by works. We talked about that last night. A lot of people try to incorporate people into their church and try to Christianize them, turn them into a Christian. Make you do what you're, stop doing those things. You're a Christian now. Stop drinking, stop smoking. Just incorporate your, and we talked about that last night. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not. It sounds good, but it's not. I hope y'all understand me. That's not preaching the gospel. And we talked about last night what that preaching the gospel is. It's good news. It's the good news that Jesus will give you the ability to stop drinking if you come to him. Because you can stop or you can try to stop and you'll go right back to it. If there's not a miracle that changes in the heart, which causes you to turn and walk in this direction and give you the power and the grace to go in this direction, where will you go? You'll go right back where you came from. So that's why you got so many problems in the church. People in, people out. They're here one day, they're gone the next. The problem is they're never born again. I can really strongly say that tonight. Never born again. Well, they started doing good. They listened to K-Love. And they bought a t-shirt, put a sticker on their bumper. They came to church twice a month. They did never come before. So we did see some fruit. That's not fruit, guys. That is not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love God with all your heart, might, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control. That's the fruit of the seed that's planted in a born-again believer. A love for things he never had a love for before. And sin makes him sick now. He's disgusted when he accidentally curses after he's born again. He's ashamed. Praise God. That's the born-again believer. So the devil is damning people every single day. You and I have the ability, by the power of God and the wisdom it's which God will give you, to shed light on the dark deception. Listen to me for a moment. The devil comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. He cannot do that to you anymore. You all have family members that you love greatly, that the devil is killing them. You have people in your workplace. You have people in all areas, schools, wherever you go. There's people around you every day that you have a lot of care for. And the devil is lying to them. Most of them say they're Christian. Am I right? How about all of them? Right? Somebody's lied to them. That needs to be undone, right? If it's not undone, they'll die that way. And they'll stand before God and say, "Well, aren't you happy with some of the things that I did? I went to church a few times. I never knew you." Somebody lied to them. Somebody didn't preach the gospel under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you here tonight, God has something to say. What does he want to say? What does God want to say through your life every day, everywhere you go? Because if you're journeying through this life as a vessel in which God has empowered, God must have complete control of that vessel. Your thoughts, the way we speak, the way we treat people, the way we love people, and the way we respond to things that happen to us in our life. God must have complete control. So I believe tonight we need the power of the Spirit of God to give me wisdom and revelation, that my eyes would be enlightened to what God is saying to me and what God is doing in me. Church, when you come in this room, God is doing things in your life. It's not just going here. It's got to get past here, and it's got to get into here. Wow, I get it. I really understand. Are you with me? Have you had those times? Would you pray that these things that we're talking about would really get a hold of me, hold of you, so that when we step out that door, God can finish in this hour what he's always wanted to do, to bring the love of Christ to a dying world that is desperately looking for him. You have the answer. And you're responsible with that answer. Because every one of us will be judged when we face God, not for your sin. That's been done at the cross. But we'll sit around that table with Jesus. And he'll look at your life. And everything that was done in him and by him, there'll be rewards given out. Everything that was done outside of him, your works, your ways of doing things, your words, no rewards for you. No rewards to bring to Jesus, because I did it. It was my words. It was my enticing words that tried to twist people into praying a prayer. I tried to convict them with the way I wanted to say what I said. Y'all ever been guilty of that? Play Holy Ghost in somebody's life? Think every time you minister to somebody, you got to have them break down, burst out in tears, and fall on the floor and start praying for Jesus to come into their heart. And if they don't do that, you fire it up a little stronger for the next round. It's not God. Because you see, gentleness and meekness and self-control, long-suffering, that's the power of God's Spirit. So what does God want to say in the hour in which we live to a lost world that lives around us? Because there's things he wants to say. I'm going to read these scriptures. You can turn to them. For the sake of time, I'll just run through them. It's only a couple of them. John chapter 12, verse 49. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." I'm going to read it again. Jesus said, "For I did not come," or "I did not speak on my own." So every time Jesus would speak, he's telling us here, I didn't speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. Church, listen to me tonight. You're the same. Every time we speak this gospel, ministering and speaking life and speaking encouragement and bringing the things of God to somebody, you and I must speak what we're commanded to speak of him. Please hear me tonight. That's a must. John 14, 10. Jesus said, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work." It must be the Father living in us doing this work. Amen? Because if it's not the Father speaking through me, and it's not the Father doing this work through me, then one of two things is happening. Either nothing is coming out of me, because I'm afraid, flesh gets in the way, I'm guilty of that. Or we think that we're something that we're really not, and we go preaching things and using the word like an axe, and we begin to kill people with it. Or we may be twisted in our understanding of the gospel and doctrine, and never born again, because I see a lot of people out preaching the gospel that's never been born again. You've seen it. Does that not give you a bellyache? Your flesh immediately wants to get frustrated and angry, but then your spirit says, you know what, they really need help. God help them. And God help the people listening, because what they're telling them is not the truth. Guys, we need to know this truth. We need to have an intimate relationship and a walk with God every day of our life. and be so full of his spirit. Amen? Narrow is the way that leads to life. Few find it. We talked about that last night. Amen? He's left this work to his church. The Bible says that he has made all of us ministers of reconciliation. The Bible says it's through the foolishness of preaching that men are going to be saved. I want to tell you tonight, you have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in order for people to be saved. I can be as honest with us before. Isn't that very difficult to do? Is it easy for you? Because I'm going to tell you, it's not for me. It's not easy, is it? Your flesh is a very strong thing that sometimes gets in the way. How many of you in this room battle with fear? I do. I'm an evangelist, but I still live in a fleshly body here. I battle with fear. Amen? I battle with those things in my life. I battle with timidity. I battle with, you know what? I'm so afraid and don't know what to say, I'm just not going to say nothing. You know, that's what the devil does to us. Because he doesn't want you saying anything. He doesn't want you getting to the people out there. He doesn't want you to put your finger on the things that he's damning people with. He tries to fight everything he can against it. But I can tell you what, the Holy Ghost will prevail every time. Amen? Sometimes we think, you know what? I don't know enough scripture. I mean, have you ever thought that before? Times come up where you have the ability to talk to somebody and you're like, oh no, I don't know enough scripture. I'll bring them to Terry. Let Terry preach to them. Well, praise God if that's what you have to do. But God wants to use you. Thank God for Pastor Terry. Thank God for our other pastors. Amen? But God wants to use you. So, study to show yourself approved. Study the Word of God. Know your place in Christ and trust Jesus when the time comes to speak. Pray for God to give you that ability to speak when that time comes. And he'll do it. Amen? Every time. So the devil wants to bring all of these lies. Jesus said, I only do and say the things my Father tells me to say. The Holy Spirit's come into our life. He makes you love. Amen? He empowers us with his Spirit to give us power. He's come in to give us the ability to have great boldness when we stand before people. And he gives us remembrance of all things that he taught us. Is that what the word says? I'll give you all things. I'll give you remembrance of all things that I taught you. Well, how does he teach you? By the reading of his word, the studying of his word. He gives you the ability to remember those things. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be a witness unto me in all of Milwaukee, all of Glendale, and to the utmost parts of the world. God wants to give you this power to be a witness unto him. The disciples were very fearful men, but after the Holy Ghost came, they were willing to die for him. Y'all remember that? They were very scared men. Jesus talked to them. They scattered when they came to take him away, and Peter said, oh, Lord, I'll die with you. And then when they came to him, he got very afraid, didn't he? He denied the Lord three times. But I can tell you, after the power of the Holy Spirit came into his life, they were never afraid again. They were willing to die for Christ. How many of you tonight say, yeah, I would die for Christ. I think I would. You know what? Can I be honest with you tonight without bringing fear to you? Because we win. And I want to tell you tonight, to die is gain. But can I be real honest with you? There may become a day very soon in our own country that people may take your life for the gospel's sake. It sounds kind of scary if you think about it for a moment. You don't want that to happen to yourself. But can I tell you to be of good cheer tonight? Because Jesus is going to be with you. And just like Stephen, when he was being stoned, he looked into heaven and saw Jesus. You know, he might have felt a little pain for a moment, but I can tell you, it only lasted for us maybe a split second. Amen? But you and I may be persecuted in ways that we've never seen before because you're preaching the truth in this hour in which we live. People that just preach a watered-down gospel, they won't be those that are getting persecuted very much. These people that are preaching hyper grace and all this foolishness, and you're best person now and trust in yourself and all that, and you're preaching this kind of gospel message of, you know, just suck it up and be, you know, trust that God's already taken care of everything and just believe and you'll get everything that you want. I don't believe that person will be persecuted. The devil, he's not going to bother them. But if you're preaching truth, he's coming after you. But I can tell you what, you don't have to be afraid tonight, because Jesus is everything in our life. Amen? He's everything. The disciples were ignorant and unlearned men, but after the Holy Spirit came, they became very wise, didn't they? They had no power, but after the Holy Spirit came, they were able to heal people. They were able to cast out demons out of people. Peter's shadow was even healing people when he'd walk by them. Amen? Just a great work that the Spirit of God did in their life. When you look into the book of Acts, I'm going to read a few things to you. When you look into the book of Acts and you see the great things that God did through these men and women, or these men, great and mighty things that they did. How many of you want to be a minister of reconciliation the hour that we live? How many of you want to be a preacher of this gospel everywhere you go? I don't see but just a couple of hands. We all need the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen? We want to be that, don't we? But we fear sometimes what we should say, how we should say it. God's going to take that fear from you. You hear me? He's going to do it. I believe tonight is the night that we're going to be delivered from that fear. When we read in the book of Acts, and we think about what does God want to say, because sometimes we try to conjure up what God would want to say. You know, this Christian world that we are in right now has all sorts of gimmicks that try to bring the gospel to people. I can tell you tonight that there is no remedy for bringing people to Jesus. There's no set things that you have to say or do in specific form, okay? Understand me tonight. There are great ministries that I know. Please forgive me. I'm not making fun, but I want to make a point tonight. There are people that have these things that they try to bring into churches, and there's memorized cards that people go by. So when I go speak to someone about the gospel of Jesus, I can run through this format to try to get them to believe in Jesus, and I want you to say the sinner's prayer when we get through. Are y'all familiar with things like that in the Christian world? Please understand me tonight. I'm not trying to make fun of these people. These people mean really well. They mean well. And I would never say that the things being preached, because it is the Word of God, would not affect people in some sort of way. Hear me that. The Word of God will affect people. But what does God want to say? Imagine this. Here's the woman at the well. She comes in the heat of the day. She's a woman with terrible problems, many in this woman's life. Jesus, knowing this, that he's almighty, God gave him a vision. His father said, I want you to go and I want you to be at this well at this certain time of the day. All right? So when he got to that well, here comes that woman. The reason she came in the middle of the day is because she knew nobody was going to be there. So Jesus sits down beside her and says, do you know Jesus? You ever lie before? You ever steal? Are you with me? Please know I'm not making fun. What if he would have said that? You know what? God had something to say, didn't he? I'm thirsty. Would you give me something to drink? I don't have nothing to draw with. And she says, well, why are you a Jew talking to me, a Samaritan woman? He said, oh, if you knew who I was, you'd offer me water to drink. Or you'd ask me of water. You see, there was something that Jesus wanted to say to that woman. So he begins to talk to her a little bit. Then he begins to reveal her life about what she was. Are you married? She got many men in her life. And he ministered that into her life. That woman, when she got up from there, went back to her village. and said, I've met the Messiah. You've got to come and see him. Well, how do you know you met the Messiah? Because he said things to me that only a prophet would know. I want you to think about that, church, tonight. He said things to me only a prophet would know. Can you imagine you in your home, your workplace, among your friends? You sit down with them, and God begins to minister to that person. So instead of you pulling out the Romans road and going through scriptures that you've got memorized, please hear me, I'm not making fun of memorizing scripture. That's good to do. But whenever the time comes to speak, what does God want to say? He doesn't want to say something that you've just hurried up and memorized in your natural mind. But there's something by the Holy Ghost that's going to rise up within you and come in and go from this mind, but it's going to go into the heart. You see, God doesn't talk one mind to the next. By the power of the Holy Ghost, God comes to you and he begins to pour out this word and it goes into the heart of man. The Christianity and the gospel that's being preached in our world for the most part, one man preaching to another man, you end up with arguments, you end up with disagreements, you end up with, you're judging me, how dare you say that about me, you're judging me. I didn't even say nothing about nothing. Dressed in a suit, come out of the church, already think I'm judging you. Why? Because somebody has. You know, you need to stop smoking. You need to stop taking them drugs. Well, this does look like I'm judging you, doesn't it? How many times you see that out in the world out there? They need to stop doing that. They need to stop doing this. I can't believe they talk like that. Well, I can tell you, you and I used to talk like that. We used to be this and that. God had mercy on me, so why would I go point my finger at them? Sometimes we find ourselves in our flesh distributing that type of ministry. The Holy Ghost wants to change that for you and me. So the hour that we live in, we can be strong, full of Holy Ghost, power, signs, wonders, miracles, and authority coming out. So that when I speak into your life, my gosh, this person is really speaking to me from God. Tears begin to roll down their face instead of angry faces wanting to punch you in the mouth because you're coming up in their face with something retarded. Now, I know there's times where you may be stoned for ministering the gospel, but a lot of people take persecution. I know people right now in my city where I live, they go to the colleges and stand up on the benches out there and they call women whores when they come by. Because they got a mini skirt on. My son is a born-again believer. This guy screamed at my son and said, you're going to hell, young man, because you're going to a public college. It's all a bunch of hell. It's all demonic. And he's preaching, Jesus died on the cross for your sins and to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. He's preaching the right words. No love coming out of the life. And pointing the finger and calling people homosexuals because there's guys that look a little more feminine. Well, maybe they are. Jesus never pointed out people that way. He put sin all in the same. For the wages of sin leads to death. Repent of your sin. Well, I point out to the man or the woman that's got the problem and say, look at them. We'd say something about the homosexual, but we say nothing about the drunkards. The abortion clinics are taking heat. Praise God. They ought to, because it's wrong to do that. Nobody's standing up to pull alcohol off the shelves. Oh, no, that makes us too much money. So what's being preached? What's being taught out there? Think about it. What does God want to say, Pastor? What does he want to say in the hour that we live? We have the answer. I can tell you the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, I'll tell you this. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. Y'all remember? He stood up on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost had filled this 120 people that were in the upper room. And at the filling of the Holy Spirit of that 120, people from the crowd begin to mock and say, "Oh, look, these men are drunk. Listen, they're speaking in all sorts of languages here. I mean, we can hear our own language. I mean, these men are drunk." So Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, what does he do? He stands up, reads the Romans Road. He didn't do that, did he? You know what he did? There was full authority, wisdom, insight, understanding, power. He stood up and said, "Oh no, these men are not drunk as you suppose." He said, "This is what the prophet Joel had prophesied about." They had the Old Testament. That was it at their time. "This is what the prophet Joel prophesied that would come in this day. And you are eyewitnesses of these things." And for 3.5 minutes, Peter began to preach Christ to this crowd at this moment, at this dispensation, on this day. Those hearts, those ears, and those people. It was an absolute ordained time that God had something to say to that group of people. He didn't say, "Hey, can you give me something to drink? If you knew who I was, you'd ask me for something to drink." You understand, God had something to say right then to that crowd. And you know what the Bible says? It says they were pricked in their heart. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And it cuts deep into the heart, and it brings a man to a place of godly sorrow, which leads to repentance. Right? So this man, full of wisdom, revelation, knowledge, understanding, full of the Holy Spirit, began to preach. 3,000 men said, "What must I do to be saved?" That day, they were born again from a 3.5-minute sermon that was not something that was memorized so much in the mind of Peter. Peter knew the gospel. Peter knew the Old Testament. Peter was given remembrance at the time he began to minister to prick the hearts of this crowd for that moment. So how about you? When you're wherever you are, God will give you remembrance of what to say when that time comes. These men so wanted God to use their life. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are at the Gate Beautiful. They come up to this man. He's crippled. They've passed by him multitudes of times. And on this day, you look at us. Look onto our eyes. Money we don't want to have to give you, but what we do have. You see, they were so in tune with God that they knew what God wanted to do. Rise up and walk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he rose up, the crowd began to marvel. They began to flood around Peter and John. And they're like, they were like amazed. "Whoa, whoa, whoa, don't be bowing down to me. We are just mere men. This miracle that you just saw was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about my ministry. Look at the ministry that we have. We've got this healing ministry, and come on into our," you know, nothing. You know, the first thing they did was, this man has rose up from the ground by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are just mere men. Don't come kneel down before us and give us any praise, because this work is done by our Father which is in heaven. So give him the praise for it. And while you're at it, let me tell you a little bit about him. 5,000 people born again that day from a 3-minute and 5-second sermon. Go read it. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes we think we've got to preach or talk to somebody for hours. And maybe God would. They did exhort them afterwards in many words. But God speaks. He gives something into that life. You know, Paul said, one man waters, one man plants, God gives the increase. So there's times when you may not be given a full sermon or a full thing to say where you reap the harvest at that moment. You understand? There's times when you just plant the seed, plant the nugget out there. Acts chapter 7, Peter preached to a whole crowd of people, and he knew exactly what they needed to hear. You see, he didn't preach the same thing that Peter did. He began to go, he took them all the way back to Moses, and he began to talk to them. And then at the end, he told them they were a very stiff-necked people. The crowd he was talking to was a very religious crowd, and he knew it. Why? Because God gave him the understanding, gave him wisdom, gave him insight into that crowd for that moment for what he needed to say, and they got very angry with him, and they stoned him to death. The Bible also says these men were cut to the heart. That means the word of God got past their mind and got into their heart, and it made them very angry, and they stoned him to death. They stoned him. Amen? Read the sermon. He preached for 10 minutes. Amen? Acts chapter 8, Philip and the eunuch. Y'all know the story. Philip goes into the desert. The eunuch is there. God gave him something to say right then at that time. This eunuch was sitting there, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. And the place that he got to, Philip ran to him and began to preach Christ to him at that moment of time. And when that happened, the man was born again. Y'all know the rest of the story. Acts chapter 10, you got Peter going to Cornelius' house. What did God want to say? God said exactly to them what God needed to say for that particular time, and the whole household was born again. These men went to no seminaries. So maybe you're hearing here tonight and say, well, I've never been to a Bible college. I've read my Bible. Maybe I've not even read the whole Bible yet. Maybe I'm just saved and I've only read just a little bit. How can God use me? God can use you. That woman that got up the ground from with that well, she didn't have nothing. She had no Bible. She had nothing. You know what she did? She went back and said, oh, I found the Messiah. How do you know? Let me tell you what he told me. He gave me life today. I'm born again today. I'm set free today. I've been forgiven today. You have something to say. God's not expecting you to say something that you don't know. You can't give something that you haven't been given. So you don't have to conjure up or have the devil lie to you and think you've got to have this big sermon plotted out in your mind before you can go out and work and be a witness unto God. He's not wanting you. There you are, back to works again. You're not dependent on God's grace. You're not dependent on God's authority. Don't it make us desperate for God? How could we live one second of every day without God helping us? Lord, I need your wisdom. Help me, Jesus. Have mercy on me tonight. Amen. No Bible. They had no seminaries. They had no Bible schools. They had no New Testament Bibles to hand out at that time. They had no gospel tracts to hand out. Yet they turned the whole world upside down. They turned the world that they lived in completely upside down. Amen. Look what we have today. We have the completeness of the Bible today. Amen. Aren't you glad? We have devotionals that we get to read. We've got Christian music that we get to listen to. They didn't have any of that. But look how much faith they had. Sometimes we rely on our little devotionals to get us through the day, or we rely on our Christian music to help us through the day. And I don't knock that. Praise God for these things. But I don't have to have those things. All I need is Him. All I need to know is Him. Amen? I'm content just being with Him and knowing Him. Thank God for praise music. Thank God for devotion. I love devotionals. I read them. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. I thank him tonight. Amen. Look at Jesus' life. He preached, and sometimes he didn't preach. So don't think, well, I got to go into the world now. I got to go everywhere I go. I got to preach the gospel everywhere. God's going to give you those opportunities. God's going to open the doors. Stay close to him. He doesn't expect you to go stand outside of Walmart and everybody comes in and out, but if he tells you to do that, go. Jesus didn't talk to everybody. Paul said, I had the blood of no man on my hands. That didn't mean that he preached to every single person he came in contact with, but I can tell you this, he preached to every single person God put him in contact with. When the Holy Ghost said, speak, Paul was ready to speak, and he knew he didn't have any man's blood upon his hands. Amen. Jesus preached, sometimes he didn't. Jesus loved people. How many of you want to love tonight more than you've ever loved? How can I go outside and minister to a world that I have no love for? Ann and I were talking the other day about this very similar thing, and we were talking about how sometimes we love one another and we do good things for one another. You know, all of y'all in here do good to me. You give me an offering, send me home with money to pay my light bill. Some of you have brought us gifts, cookies, and things like that. Tell us how much you love us. Ann and Chris have opened their home to us. Pastor does great things for us. Aaron does great things for us. And I said, why do you do those things? She said, well, because we love you. We love you. So if we're going to do good things to one another, if love is the key, then that's what I need when I'm outside these doors. How many of you know we need more of God's love tonight?
Amen.
Because if we have more of God's love, then we're going to go and we're going to really care. When I sit down by the person that I'm talking to, I'm going to really care about that person. Why? I can see their hurts. I can see their pain. And I love you. And I'm not coming to see if I can get you to say a sinner's prayer so I can go back to tell everybody, I won somebody to Jesus today and put a notch under my belt and have the pastor pat you on the back and make you a deacon. It's funny because we think that way sometimes, don't we? You know, oh, he'll see me doing good works and he'll put me on the praise team. So we go out, start preaching and try to just, you're going to go to hell when you die. You need to pray for Jesus to come in here. Bow your head. Say this prayer with me. Again, I'm not making fun. It's a serious thing. Show me that in the Bible where the sinner's prayer is at and where you have to get somebody to pray that in order for them to be saved. Show it to me. Wow, it isn't in there. Maybe he's right. It's not in there, is it? Show it to me. No, it's not there. You know why? Because people have just formed up traditional things that we think we need to do to get people to pray for God, and we've got to see them do it. Because if I don't see them snotting and crying and praying for Jesus to save them, then they ain't saved. Shame on us for thinking that. God judges a man's heart. He's not looking at what you do. Because I've seen a lot of people pray and snot and cry, and you thought they were born again because they did that, and they were the biggest devil you ever seen in your life. I can tell you the devil knows how to cry too. He can act a fool and do everything. He can tell you what you want to hear, give you everything you want to hear, just like people did in your life to manipulate you. That's what he is, a manipulator. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, church. We have the truth that we need to go out and bring to this world. He had boldness, he had compassion, he had courage, he had wisdom, and he had all power and all authority. So how about you tonight? How about us in this room? First of all, I want to ask you, do you really know Jesus tonight? Are you really born again of God? Because if you're not, you need to be born again. I spent 29 years of my life professing a Christian and have actually went out on the streets with people's churches in my past as a lost man passing out tracts and bottles of water, which I'm going to take this one with me. Bottles of water. Jesus loves you. Join our church. Come to our church. That was the preaching of the gospel for me. Church, that's not preaching the gospel. Inviting people to your church is not preaching the gospel. And thank God we can invite people to do that. I'm not telling you not to do that. Somebody invited me to church and I got saved. But God wants to say something. God's got something to say. What does God want to say? We must know. Amen? Because if we do, oh, there's going to be a lot of people coming to Jesus. Because we're going to be prophetically speaking life to them. Amen? I want to know this. Do you study to show yourself approved tonight? A man or a woman is rightly able to divide the word of God so that when God does give you the moments, he can give you remembrance of all things that he taught you. That's why we come to church and we study the word of God together. That's why we do our devotions. That's why we meditate on the word of God all the time, because God wants to do something in our life. How many of you want to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove? Isn't that what the Bible tells us to be? How many of you know that we need to weep for people and see people like Jesus sees them? How many of you want to love people more? And how many of you need boldness? How many of you want courage? How many of you want wisdom tonight? How many of you want the power of God to be a witness in this world? Don't we need wisdom? Remember Solomon prayed for wisdom? He could have had anything that he wanted to pray for. He prayed for wisdom. And God blessed him because that's what he prayed for. He said, give me wisdom to lead people to you, to lead your people. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. God, that we could know what's going on in our own personal life with you, and that we can bring this gospel to as many people as we can in the hour in which we live. Church, stand with me tonight. I want you to think about the things that we talked about tonight. Please forgive me if I sounded offensive on some of the things that I pointed out. I'm not here to be offensive, and I'm not here to make fun of people's ministries. Please hear me. I pray that the people that have these type of ministries that are not doing right, I pray that they would get right. I pray that they would run across a brother like this who's got a ministry that teaches truth, and that somehow God would give them the ability to see the error in their way, because there's a lot of people being damned. I know this, the Bible says that light makes manifest of all things that are dark. So if the life of Christ, which is the light unto men, lives in this brother, lives in this brother, lives in this sister, lives in this sister, then that light is going to make manifest of everything that is dark, even the foolishness of what is preached as the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Because what you're preaching is really resonating with my heart and not my mind. People are going to go start coming. They're going to start coming to your church because they're really looking for truth. I pray that all of these people that have come with you tonight, Pastor, I'm not trying to pick you out, but I'm thanking God because I pray that all the churches that really believe and stand in this unity of what I'm talking about tonight, we're talking about being saved by the blood of the Lamb through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that we get to bring this truth to people that, you know what? Jesus cares about your troubles. You need prayer today? Can I pray with you about something? Just whatever God would put on your heart for that moment. And if you could just step out of your fear for a moment in faith, believing that they're not going to think you're weird, but they're going to really thank you for doing that. Am I not telling the truth? Many of you have had those opportunities already, and God has done a great thing. But I believe the hour that we live, God is uniting believers together from all areas of this country. He's going to bring us together as a mighty army, not to point our fingers at the sinners and scream at them, but to unite us together as a body of believers to be one beautiful picture of love, joy, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, patience. They would come and say, "My, can you tell me about this hope that's in you?" And we can preach Jesus to them. Isn't that what you want in your life? Would you bow your heads? If you know this song, I want you to sing it with me for a moment. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Would you sing it to them, to him tonight, and just really say, Lord, would you really prepare me for this? Yes. Lord, prepare me. He's hearing you. To be a sanctuary. Lift your hands. Pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a sanctuary. Just give him your heart tonight, church. Tell him to fill you full of his spirit, overflowing, full of joy and excitement and wisdom and the ability to speak. Lord, give us boldness in the hour we live. Hallelujah. Give us the ability to speak to every man's conscience as need be. God, that we could speak the mysteries of Christ. Give us that wisdom, Lord, tonight. Lord, I pray that you would harness our mouths in the day that we live. Lord, deal with our hearts about the wickedness that's in our own life to repent daily, God. Lord, that we could walk through this earth loving one another, caring for one another, not gossiping about one another, not pointing the finger, trying to beat one another down, but Lord, loving one another. Oh, that when men look at our life, they would see that we are the disciples of Christ by the love we have one for another. Unite your church in the hour in which we live, God, to complete your work, Lord, in the hour in which we live. Jesus, we need you. Fill us full of your spirit tonight. Baptize us in the Holy Ghost. Refill us with the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, we're desperate for you, Jesus. Call on him, church. Tell him how much you need him tonight. Do a work in me, Jesus. Do a work in us tonight, Lord. Oh, we need you. We need you. We need you. God, have mercy. Have mercy.